your doctor recommended regular dose of conspiracy theory.
So, yeah, now we get to the root of it.
It is entertaining.
And find something that
no way anybody got in there after the planes hit.
Stand up and fight back.
That other than the government story.
Negotiated with Iran to hold release of the hostages.
J. Edgar Hoover and...
Welcome to the ATS Review from AboveTopSecret.com.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. Giving marching orders to the Tinfoil Hat Brigade for 7 years.
Well, hello, this is the Skeptic Overlord. It is Wednesday, September 20th. This is episode number 2 of the ATS Review. And joining me way on the other end of Skype is...
Springer.
There he is.
Man, we are happy to have you all with us tonight. We are going to give you a show you'll never forget, or maybe you will. We're going to talk about a hero, a 58-year-old guy that's crossing the world in support of our troops, some old threads, some new threads, and some really, really good stuff.
Recommended by 4 out of 5 extraterrestrials.
Okay, we're trying to get our legs back here.
Do we have legs?
I don't know.
Really? I mean, I think right now we got stumps.
I'm not so sure about that. I feel like I'm... You know, like, what was it? What was that movie, Trading Places, where Eddie Murphy's out there with no legs on a skateboard or something?
Hey, but we're growing.
That's right.
We're progressing. We're doing better.
Number two. I mean, we used to be pretty good at this. At least our three listeners told us we were.
Well, actually, I had one listener tell me we were, and the other two just didn't comment, which I took as a positive.
Well, 2 out of 3, or 1 out of 3. Well, that's not too bad. 1/3.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 is better, but we'll take 1 out of 3 any day of the week.
So what are you drinking over there tonight?
I am drinking the greatness that is Maker's Mark and Coke. Am I predictable or what? And you are drinking?
Well, okay. Tonight I have the beer. The favorite beer of the Overlord. Mrs. Overlord bought me 2 cases of this. It is Taddy Porter.
I was going to say it had to be a porter.
From the Samuel Smith Old Tadcaster Brewery.
Wow. Nice. You got some good chocolate to go with that?
No, Taddy Porter is best alone.
Taddy Porter, not... Okay, I'm with you. I'm learning the spirit thing. I mean, got it.
Yeah, okay.
Sounded good, too. What are we doing tonight?
Well, tonight we have a lot to cover. An experiment with some new items in the format. We're actually going to talk about some old threads in these ATS reviews, I think, which will be interesting to get maybe some of the current members and new members turned on to some of the stuff that's way back in the dusty archives. So that should be a lot of fun.
God, I would hope so. I mean, there's so much in our past that built ATS that people... don't even have a clue about that. I think that's really a good service that we're doing, at least I hope it is.
Well, if anything.
Turning people on to it.
Right. So, like we keep saying, for the few people who listen, maybe some of those old threads might get 1 or 2 more new views. We'll see. And let's see. Oh, yeah, we have a cool new feature, which could be a lot of fun as things go on, to talk about what's currently hot going on the discussion boards.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. So we're ready to rumble, ready to get into it, and see if we can crank out episode 2. It certainly can't be worse than episode 1.
I'm hoping we only embarrass ourselves less than we did last time. That'll be a...
Right now on AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, there's a couple topics, at least one huge topic. I'd say 3 topics. Make up my mind, huh?
Well, 3, 4, 2.
Yeah, I don't know. That have been pretty active. One that could turn into something, but it seems like a repeat of something over and over and over again. But what's interesting is that this is coming up as election time rolls around. What do you know? Our good reliable friend Osama bin Laden has surfaced once again around election time to tell us he's going to blow us up.
No. Yes. You're kidding.
Would you believe that?
God, they're so predictable.
Yes, Maud Dib posted an ATSNN article, Osama bin Laden planning more destructive attacks in the U.S. And this time, apparently, good old Osama specifically mentions dirty bombs.
Dirty bombs.
It's just amazing how this is this now the third election season that this has happened?
You know, actually, if it's not the third, it may be the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, third.
So isn't that third. Just like clockwork? He's very reliable. He's a very trustworthy friend of the Bush family.
Yes, he is. He has got to be the most punctual pre-election performer. Say that 10 times fast.
No.
In the world.
So that's going to, yes, that's going to help the conservative warmongering cause a great deal, and I'm sure all of our members are going to be sending us, or not all of our conservative members are now going to be sending us hate mail.
Well, all three of them. Yeah. That might happen to hear this show.
Right. Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. No, they'll tell each other about it, and we'll be inundated. I can guarantee you.
We can only hope. I mean, if it spreads like wildfire, we're a hit.
That's right.
That's good. Friends.
Can I move on now?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm done with that topic. Let's go on to the next one. The next one has been in the news, and Super 70, actually, I think four different members started threads on this yesterday, and that was the objects tracking near the space shuttle in orbit.
Oh, yes.
Super 70's thread is the one that happened to take off, which is not a surprise. I think he had generally the best intro, so his thread took off better. And
yeah, he had a great title, too.
Yeah, that helps. And we're up to 28 pages of talk about the plastic bag following the space shuttle.
Yeah, and that's a fascinating thing. When I saw that thread, I clicked on it and went, wow. And I gave him, I think, two or three applauds for starting it, you know, and the whole deal. And then I looked at it and I was, my God, that's a baggie.
When I saw or a jellyfish. Video. It could be a jellyfish.
Yeah, or a jellyfish or God knows what else. We don't want to speculate, but there you have it.
But I think it highlights the uncertainty of going into space. And I think more than anything, I mean, certainly a lot of our members have done a great job of keeping that thread updated. But I think... in totality, it sort of highlights in a significant way the new anal retentiveness of NASA.
Oh yeah. Well, when your vehicles explode on global television,
we'll give them that.
And wonderful, great people of the top 0.5% of the human race perish because of your incompetence. You better get anal retentive.
Well. I forget who said it. I don't know if it was at the explosion of the shuttle launch or the shuttle reentry, but somebody, some relatively famous astronaut said, hey, space is dangerous.
Yes.
People are going to die trying to do this.
Yes, it is.
And
yes, they do.
Right. So I think, they all know the risks going in that this could happen. It's just that the public doesn't seem to have a tolerance for this, and NASA seems to be, like I said, a little risk averse anymore.
Well, I can speak from firsthand experience. When Val Hall was a rocket scientist at NASA, and I had the great honor for someone of my mental capacity to be able to mingle, and that's true. To be able to mingle with the folks at Johnson Space Center for the 3 years we were down in Houston, I have to tell you that these people are the most committed, intelligent, and honest and ethical people I've ever had the pleasure of getting to know. And I support NASA completely. They truly are a bunch of young people getting way underpaid for their, oh my God, MIT graduates making $47,000 a year. Tell me they don't love it. That the only reason they're there is because their heart's in it.
Well, so let's hear a cheer from NASA.
Yeah, big time.
Okay, you've changed my mind.
Wow, that's good. Where did you find that?
I've got tons of them.
Oh, my God.
Somebody has to make a sound professional.
Yes. Not so, you, because it won't be me.
So moving on, there's another topic that exploded today. And it has... Well, it exploded, not like that. I don't...
that was me trying to make a sound professional.
Leave the sound effects up to me, please. It was the SmackDown main event at the UN General Assembly today as Hugo Chavez gave it to President Bush. Man, did he lay into Bush.
You gotta love him.
We have, I think, a total of five threads. Each of them are into, all but one, are into the second page of replies. Let's see, which one? The one by World Watcher, one of our moderators. Hugo Chavez, speaking at the UN against American imperialism and Bush the devil, has the most replies at this point. So what did you think of, did you read the Chavez speech or any excerpts?
No, actually I didn't. I did not get a chance to. And I generally try to avoid mindless rants. That guy, I love him. He's got great PR. He's got great timing, but really, he has no content.
I would tend to agree, but man, he knew his crowd because he got applause and a few cheers.
Oh yeah,
there's a few things he said that I don't necessarily disagree with. I disagree with the manner in which it was delivered. And he said all Americans should read Chomsky. Well, should read it with a grain of salt, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said. I mean, the guy has got great timing. He's got a great PR firm. And I really, God, if only we could find out who they are and hire them. But truly, I think the guy is a very, very astute and very smart nut job. In other words, I think it's all an act. It's, you know, every time he bitches, the UN gives him $100 million. I mean, how do you go wrong with that game?
Yeah, and he led his little speech off, or didn't really lead it off, but I think within the first four sentences, he's calling Bush the devil and can still smell sulfur in the chamber. That's awesome.
That's classic. I mean, there's no way that guy came up with that. I mean,
so that was very cool. So
yes,
those are the three really burning topics. Maybe that first one isn't so much burning, but I think the timing just caught my eye it was smoldering as it was posted today. And it could turn into something. There's a few replies, but I don't see anyone noticing in the replies that Osama seems to be sticking his nose in right on schedule, which was the surprise I saw.
Well, yeah, you and I are always surprised by that, aren't we?
I talk about the world being controlled by a few people, a few interbreeding families going back to the ancient world that are behind all this vast change in the Orwellian society that's...
turned into this? Are you saying the president would have been hit by three bullets instead of two if Connolly had not have turned into that shot? And Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, says that's exactly correct, Mr. President.
This path of looking down it and finding, hey, there's a little bit more here than just accepting whatever the spin is on the news station you're watching.
And I guess I should just focus more on the whole political correctness and what's behind it issue.
I freaked out because I thought it was
on the board. Okay. Have we, in effect, created our own worst enemy? That is... a troll that thinks.
Only one website delivers more than 1,000 podcasts from dozens of conspiracy theorists. AboveTopSecret.com.
Your iPod will need a tinfoil case.
Relentless, I just listened to your podcast here. And...
And now it's time to play Ask the Amigos.
And it's Ask the Amigos. Why anyone would ever want to ask us anything is beyond me, but God bless you for asking. Because it gives us something to talk about.
I think we had more people replying to that thread than will actually listen to the podcast.
Without a question, without a doubt, without a murmur. Okay, so the first question,
give them to me.
Fairly or unfairly. I'm sorry?
Shoot me. Give them to me.
Yes. First question, unfairly or otherwise, is from one of our staff, UK Wizard. Now, his avatar is pretty intimidating looking, I have to say. It's some green machine-looking thing in armor with this gun. And this gun is as big as my car. And that's a frightening proposition. However, he does ask a very good question. What is each of you drinking at the moment? And then the question goes a little weird. And what is your opinion of cider as an alternative drink? Well, I'll let you answer first. What are you drinking at the moment?
Well, I think we already answered that question.
Well, we did, but we're being polite. So okay, just tell them again.
I'm drinking Teddy Porter.
Maker's Mark and Coke. Okay, now cider. This is the part of the question that really got my attention. What cider as an alternative to Teddy Porter and Maker's Mark?
No.
Don't think so.
However.
Cider?
However, I will qualify my answer. And I think it's a different cider than he's thinking about. Nice, fresh apple cider in the fall with vodka. Yes.
I think they make a hard cider.
Now, this is much better than hard cider. Yes, they do make a hard cider. And I really never got into it. I know there's a lot of people that are aficionados of the different brands of hard cider. And some, I guess, are actually pretty good. And I've had one or two that are supposed to be good. And I just didn't get into it.
Wow.
But a nice fresh apple cider and vodka, about half and half, really.
It's cider like. And vodka.
Yeah, it's good.
I've never tried it. I will try it the first 40-degree day we get down here. Next up is Sauron. He's got, I think that's Marilyn Manson with the crazy eyes and the whited-out face. I'm not certain, the avatar, but do use two, and I'm trying to put this as it was typed, have an opinion on where the political future of America is heading. Boy, do we. I'll let you run with that one first.
Oh, man. I have visions of a crapper.
you get out of my head. You just took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, it's swirling around a porcelain megaphone and going down. Wow.
Political future, it just doesn't... Just when you think it couldn't get possibly worse, then there's talk of the Democrats nominating Hillary Clinton to run for president.
Yeah.
No.
You know, in my mind, those are mutually exclusive terms when they're combined with the word United States of America. Political future, those words just don't exist. I mean...
Well, I guess we know there's politics and there's going to be a future, so I guess, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the game's rigged, folks, and that's about all I have to say about that. Moving right along, we have Nightboy 82, one of my favorites. Nightboy is anybody that puts AbFab, absolutely fabulous, those two girls in their avatars, instantly in with the Springer. Terribly funny British humor show. I think this is directed to you, Skeptic Overlord. Uh-oh. I believe at one time in a thread you had mentioned that you are an atheist, or I think you said that. How is that tied in with your outlook on American politics? Left and right both use religion for their purposes, and how do you think the relentless marriage of politics and religion, as unfortunate as I think it is, will affect our country as a whole?
All right, I'm going to need another drink.
God, we need a bar.
Yeah, no, yes, I am an atheist, but sort of conditionally an atheist, I suppose, because before I decided to give up theism, I was studying the Bible quite a bit, so I'm sort of the theist's worst nightmare is an atheist that knows the Bible very well. So that's a weird oxymoron, I suppose. Anyway, I think... I guess this is a follow-up to the last question. I think that mixing religion and politics is in this country is inevitable. and a science fiction author who tends to be amazingly prophetic, Robert Heinlein. That topic touched his novels a few times, and especially in one of his novels, Friday. And in that novel, it was literally, I believe he wrote that in the 70s, and it was supposed to be in America in the early, early part of the century, so right about now, or maybe 10 years from now. And it was a primarily religious government at the time, a theocracy. So it's been seen coming for some time. I don't think it's a surprise in retrospect after everything's happening. It's just going to get worse, I think, before it gets better, I'm afraid.
Yeah. You know, I want to comment, and this is probably illegal in shows like this, but we're going to run with it anyway. Having come to know my partner and my buddy, Skeptic Overlord, as the atheist that I know he is, I have to say that I also believe that you have a spiritual side to you that is, I don't even think you try to deny it, honestly. I do believe that you really have a clue that there is some sort of spiritualness out there in the universe that you can't define any more than I can or anybody else can. But, you know, the reality of life here on Earth is that if you don't stand up and dig for potatoes, you're going to starve. Is that a fair assessment of your views?
No.
I knew it.
No,
anyway,
I think that's how you want me to think. But no, I really think.
No, I don't want you to think that at all. I just really got a feeling from you. You've shown such heart in the William Winsack thing and several other personal things that it just surprises me that.
What, atheists can't have heart?
No, they can't. Didn't you read the book?
You got to be cold. Like, gotta be real assholes.
I love it.
All right.
Anyway, the next question, and this is one that I really, really want to cover. This is from D. Johnstow 77, and he claims that this question has been burning on his mind for several days for various reasons. And he's concerned that ATS and similar conspiracy sites, let's strike that, there are no similar conspiracy sites to ATS.
None of them have a podcast like this.
Not a chance. Anyway, he thinks that they could be used by real terrorist groups to transmit messages. For lack of a better description, mainstream sites posting cryptic messages here could be quite easy. I know member X is a member and he's a terrorist. Something like, the Bible codes say the Brooklyn Bridge will be attacked 12/12/2006, yada, yada, yada. This could be a coded message. Do we think that's happening? You think it's happening?
I don't know. I doubt it, because I would like to think that if someone is doing that, then perhaps they vet the site they're doing on a little bit better. It's not that hard to realize that on ATS, the moderators have access to your IP address and a number of other things. And there's lots of discussion boards. Small. I mean, they're very small, but there's dozens of boards out there that aren't as carefully moderated as ATS is. And I think the level of our professional staff might deter that activity. Don't you?
Yeah, I really do. And not only that, but I think that with all the peer-to-peer technology that's available today, why in the world would they ever need to use something as mainstream or as highly visible as ATS? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
But maybe we're passing terrorist messages in this podcast. See, by me saying I'm drinking Teddy Porter, that was a
Check
special
November, Delta.
Signal. That's right.
X-ray Sigma Delta Foxtrot. Moving right along. And yes, you are spiritual. I don't care what you say. What do we got next?
That was a very spiritual burp of Teddy Porter.
Was it a belch? You see there? Well, I love you, man.
I love you. I love you, brother.
All right, move along.
What do we got next? What's up?
Oh, I thought you were going to give us another question. Is that it? Is that?
Yeah, I'm tired of questions, aren't you?
Well, no, you're reading them. I didn't get tired of them. You're the one reading them.
are sick of the questions. Let's...
Springer's favorite threads.
Well, I've got a hot one. I mean a really, really hot one.
All right, hit us.
Bush's fight with Congress over torture defines our character. Now, if this is not the ultimate title, well, okay, maybe not the ultimate title of a thread, but a very, very good title of a thread. Not only does it attract your attention, but it's a damn fact. Here we have the President of the United States trying to adjust or change the laws and rules of war so that he can get around the Geneva Convention. Excuse me.
Those two.
Yeah, both of them. To torture people. I mean, this one blows my mind so bad that I can't even fathom how a guy, I just don't even know how to start. A guy who claims to be a Christian from the South, he's the president of morality, he's the guy who's going to save America, America first, values, family values. But you know what? It's okay to put a cattle prod up somebody's ass if they really piss you off. I mean, where do you go with that?
Yeah, and especially, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm mad, so
okay, well,
on.
Especially since what we've seen, I forget the gentleman's name, but the Canadian who was exported to Syria for a special brand of very nice torture.
Oh, yeah.
Courtesy of the Syrians.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. wow, the thought of the United States of America. We are the country that discovered the, you know, concentration camps in Germany. The 101st Airborne Division of the United States Army came across the first concentration camps in Germany in World War II. And our guys were so twisted over that and so disgusted over that. They didn't even know how to act. I mean, they didn't know what to do. They broke down and they cried. These were battle-hardened veterans who started on D-Day in Normandy beaches, worked, fought their way all the way across Europe, come across this scene of inhumanity and torture and broke down and cried in front of each other. I mean, wow. And now this guy has the gall to go in front of Congress and ask for permission to torture people.
I think
he calls them terrorists.
Huh? I think what would be appropriate is for Bush to go in front of those surviving vets and explain what he would like to do.
Now you're talking. You know, and something that really, and this is purely my personal opinion, this is not official or sanctioned ATS attitude. ATS has nothing to do with what I'm about,
that's enough disclaimer.
What I'm about to say. Yeah. But, you know, I'm shocked at the number of members that have contributed to this thread that think it's okay to torture another human being in any way to keep you from dying. You know what? If it takes torturing another person to keep me from dying, then I guess I need to die, because if I can't take care of myself without somebody else torturing somebody, then I guess I need to die.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's a deep pit of terrible ethics that we shouldn't even consider. But on top of that, I mean, it's relatively proven and widely known in all kinds of military and covert circles that torture doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. Not only does it not work, it does not get you the results you want, but it ruins and destroys your staff.
Yes.
Without a doubt. There isn't a man who can torture another man that walks away from that the same guy he was when he walked in. No, doesn't happen.
That's no good. You don't want people going there.
Unbelievable. All anyway, right. that was my thread one for the night. So
that is, I think that's better than mine, but we might as well get to it.
The Overlord's Top Threads.
So we're going from torture to gas prices.
Nice. Same difference.
Sightwan, you took my thunder. Digital Girl posted a thread. Gas prices could go down to $2 by Thanksgiving, but something doesn't seem right. Yes, it certainly doesn't seem right. And I'm good you didn't ask the question that one of our member posted about the October surprise. And I think there's some crazy manipulation of the oil prices going on, and that is the October surprise.
You think?
Yeah. And that's mentioned a couple times in this thread. And this it's just not right. There's no good reason for the prices to go down other than some well-timed manipulation. And that's the tone of this thread, and it really is a good read to go through and see what our members are saying. Some great responses there. I've applauded a few as I prepared for tonight. A quality thread, really, in the fine tradition. I don't think there's anyone posting in this thread that supports torture, so it's a good place to go.
Well, you got to think that the American voter has typically voted his pocketbook. And to think that all of a sudden there's nothing changed in the Mideast, but now we're going to get $2 gas.
Well, they've also voted with the how good the guy looks on TV, too.
Well, if that was the case, I would have been president several times.
Well, you didn't have a good PR company.
No, I didn't.
That's all Damn about it. The PR. And then I have two threads tonight. Another one that really caught my interest because it is something I've been watching. Don't know if I'm on the fence about this, but I do tend to pick and choose attributes from both sides of the argument for what I tend to think. But Speaker of Truth posted in the Fragile Earth Forum. The title of the thread is "Folks, This Is Getting Serious," and it's in relation to the current news articles that even the Arctic sea ice in winter is now melting much faster than expected. That's accelerating, and we're losing ice mass in the winter, which is startling a lot of ecologists and people who watch the warming of the oceans and the weather. Have you caught up on that one?
I've checked in on it, but I really haven't kept up with it. But the counterpoint to that argument is that the Earth goes through cycles, and these ice acts and flows ebb and rise and shrink in circular fashion. I don't know about that.
Well, I think you're headed generally to the stance I take on this. I do feel that the Earth, it tilts on its axis, so there will be a cycle of heat and warmth and cold and that lasts centuries. So it will happen. I think what we're seeing is a perfect storm type combination of human intervention in what is normally a typical warming cycle, which is just making it worse.
Yeah. And that brings to mind, it rained like hell here on Sunday, and Monday I went out, looked around, and I'm in Indian Territory. There isn't a major metropolitan area within 110 miles of me. Well, about 100 miles of me anyway. And the sky was hazy, and I thought, wow, we are polluting the hell out of the atmosphere. I remember when I was a kid in Dallas, Texas, which fairly metropolitan area, plenty of cars. And in 1972, the sky would be crystal clear blue. Now I'm up after a major, huge sky-washing rain in the next morning, and I'm out in a rural area, and the sky was hazy. That did concern me.
Yeah, and we're seeing all kinds of toxins in fish in the polar regions.
Frogs,
yes. So it certainly is an issue, and that's another fine thread. If you're into that kind of thing, which I tend to be, watching that and being concerned about what's going to happen over the next 50 years.
From the dusty archives of old threads.
I love that intro.
That is great. You've got one that you came up with about Mars.
Yes, this is turning on the Wayback, Professor Peabody's Wayback Machine. Where did that come from? No. The Professor Peabody's Wayback Machine. What's that from?
That was from Underdog Order.
Come on, no, huh? You're close. The same era.
I'm right there.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Yes, Bullwinkle.
Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Oh, Bullwinkle.
So way back on November 1st, 2004, when we started seeing images coming from Mars, noticed
that... was a great couple weeks.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. It was,
awesome.
It was a pretty active moment on Above Top Secret when several of our members noticed that the colors were off. And on the thread in the ATSNN forum, what color is Mars really? A few members noticed a significant shift in the colors on the calibration sundial that is on the platform of the, I'm drawing a blank. What was the name of the little rover that was up there?
God, it was the Spirit, Mars Spirit Rover.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
I'm the Mars Spirit Rover.
And there's a little sundial on there for color calibration. And yes. There were some source images of the sundial on Earth, and the colors were way off. And the thread just took off like mad with all kinds of interesting conspiracy angles and approaches and everything else in between as to why the colors are being changed. What's NASA covering? Is Mars really green? Is the sky really blue? And it was everything. It was great. It was a lot of fun at that moment on ATS.
It was awesome. Very exciting thread.
So the counterpoint that emerged
was Kano, one of our super moderators, and a genuine genius when it comes to audio and visual things, because I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly what they are.
He's got lots of charts and graphs. He's got great graphs, man. He's got
great graphs. The man gives good graph. However, he came back with a counterpoint, and his thread was January the 18th, 2004, at 9:34 a.m., I might add. And he is in... God, is he in New Zealand or Australia? He's going to kill me if I get it wrong.
If you get it wrong, he's
in Australia. He's an Aussie. Yeah, he's an Aussie because he was always talking about the Kiwis. So he's got to be an Aussie. Anyway, he comes back and he says, NASA is not altering Mars colors. Now then, he goes on. What are you talking about? Okay, the initial alarm was raised after it was noticed that the color calibration sundial mounted on the rover looked quite markedly different in the Mars panorama shots compared to its regular appearance. And this guy literally broke this down to the science. We're talking about Texas Instruments quality scientific technical data, and broke it down to the pixel of how this stuff works. Don't ask me to explain what he said, because I can't. But leave it to Beaver. He covered it. I mean, this thread took off almost as big as your initial thread of the, you know, difference in the appearances. And I think today it still gets comments.
I'll jump in. Later on in the development of this story, he was actually able to get the mission commander from NASA to help this explanation, and NASA still links to this particular thread when people have questions about the calibration of the Spirit rover.
It was that good. This thread has also been the cause of some... fair amount of grief for you and I as being COINTELPRO or whatever the hell.
It seems like whenever we do something that tends to agree with somebody from the
reality,
right?
Anytime you and I agree with reality, science, or the government, in spite of the fact it's true, we are co
COINTELPRO.
That's right. Because we end up disagreeing with the psychos.
Right. Right. And God forbid we should ever disagree with anyone who thinks they know what they're talking about when they don't.
So there you have it. A couple looks back in the history of ATS. We'll be doing these quite regularly because there are a lot of great threads way back in the Dusty Archives that are worth a look.
My God, with 2,500,000 of them, I imagine we could find a couple every week.
Yeah, there's a few we could dust off and bring to your attention.
From the mind of Springer.
I have been looking forward to this part of this show all day.
Oh, do tell.
I'm glad to. One of our buddies, Dave Rabbit. Does that ring a bell?
The Dave Rabbit?
The Dave Rabbit. FM 69 from a whorehouse in Saigon in 1971.
He's an actual Dave slice Rabbit. Of history.
My buddy, and he is a friend of mine. We're homeboys from North Texas area of the United States. Dave Rabbit himself is risking life and limb, and he is truly going to Baghdad, Iraq on a C-130. He's leaving. Basically, he's already gone. It's going to take him a few days to get there because he's flying military hop, and this guy is going to Baghdad, Iraq in harm's way to do nothing more than cheer up, get a yuck with, have a good time with, and make the troops that are on the ground, the boots on the ground in Iraq, feel better about what they're doing there and feel better about themselves.
Oh,
now,
that's awesome.
We got to have a big cheer for Dave Rabbit right now.
Wait, I got to cue it up.
Cue it up. My God.
Oh.
A double big one then.
Well, okay, here we go. We'll just have to use the same one. I have two of them, but we'll use the same one.
I'll see you, Dave. We love you, man. Honest to God. The guy is truly giving up life and risking life and limb, giving up the comforts of home. And Dave is a very successful guy in real life. Has a very, very nice house in a country club. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is not some, you know, guy who's in it for the money or anything else. He doesn't need the money. He's not getting any money. It's costing him money to go do this. But Dave Rabbit is going to get on a C-130. God knows he'll probably be sitting on a Jeep or a tank or who knows, whatever the hell their ship knows.
One of those nasty jump seats they have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done this. Being a veteran that I am, I flew from the Philippines to Australia just to go dive, you know, Australia, and that was the way to get there. But needless to say, this guy is going. He's got a radio station in Baghdad that has been liberated, and the rightful owner has been reinstated to his radio station. And he's going to capture for next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, while he's in country. He's got the exclusive rights to Channel 69 FM and Channel 69 AM, and he's going to broadcast to the troops, Radio First Termer Iraq. And
awesome.
I think that is so far beyond cool.
That's going
to
be a blast.
What to say about it.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's historic.
It's beyond history. I mean, I'm going to get in touch with CNN toward the end of the week, and hopefully we'll be able to get a CNN reporter over there and get a camera in there for the last couple hours of the show. He's going to come back with all kinds of photographs. He's got a photo op with him and the troops for, I think, 3 or 4 hours on Saturday. You know, this is just great.
Wow. He's
just
probably going
to
have a blast, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to love it.
Well, that's excellent. That's actually very good news to hear that someone who's active on ATS and has the means to do that and the ability. I mean, if you and I went over there, they'd send us back. Get out of here.
They'd throw us back like small fish.
Right.
Oh, Dave.
All right, so that is most excellent.
What the Overlord thinks.
So, a lot of members probably think I lost my mind this week.
nah.
No, nothing new. Nothing new. It's in relation to the moon photos that John Lear posted, and I happened to be looking at one of the photos, and something rather large was suddenly noticeable to me. Now, I've never, ever, until now, subscribed to any of the possible theories of these small particular structures that are visible in supposedly visible in moon photos, you know, little buildings, little tanks, little spires and towers and orbs and things.
Faces.
Faces. I'm thinking more from the structure standpoint. There's a lot of people that spend a lot of time looking through these photos, looking for right angles and other things, half-buried things. And there's that one interesting thing that looks like a golf ball half-buried in a
That one is cool.
That one is cool, yeah, half-buried in a crater. I got to say, but that's the reason I brought that up is because when I look at these photos, I tend to look for the big things.
Man, did you find one?
Yeah. When we look at pictures of the moon and other planets, I really don't think we're going to find evidence for life elsewhere in a buried spoon or something in the dust. where it's going to be visible in something gigantic.
Wait a minute, there's a doily.
Yeah. And I think I think it is very possible that what we're seeing in one of the photos is likely an incredibly ancient strip mine. And I know you tend to agree with that assessment. It has a lot of the attributes of a mining operation, only on a very much larger scale than what we see here on Earth, and most likely of the gravity or the lack thereof, or lesser gravity. And to me, it's one of those things where I'm 50-50, which is usually better than I tend to be. That means I'm a believer for some people. I see both sides. I agree that there's just as much a probability that what we're looking at is a naturally occurring formation as it is an old, somewhat dusted up mining operation. There appears even to be piles of rubble and old tracks from equipment. Everything you'd expect to see on an abandoned mine. And on top of that, knowing what little I know about geology and metallurgy, which is very little, still, if you've studied cosmology and space science and stuff like that a little bit, which I had aspirations to at one point, you know that all of the good stuff, all the really great metals and exotic compounds are going to be in a crater. And if someone's going to mine the moon, they're going to mine it at the craters.
Well, I can say that having a doctorate in geophysical sciences, which I don't have, but if I did have a doctorate in geophysical sciences, I would absolutely agree with you. But no, seriously, one of the members put up a comparison right one above the other. He took the crop that you did of the strip mine. And he put right above, did you see that one? Right above it, he had the shot of a genuine strip mine from Earth.
That was me.
That was you?
Yeah. The one with the steam shovel?
No.
The overhead shot?
No, it was a member.
I remember.
Yeah. Throw it up.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have time to find it. Anyway, this guy put up the two shots, and there's just no denying that... My God, they're striking.
Yes.
And then even the little three-story building that John points out.
They're called blast steps, from what someone told me.
Okay. I believe you.
The three-story building. I thought you were talking about the...
The three-story building.
I don't think that's a building.
That John put up. I'll tell you what. John Lear sent me these pictures about a month ago. And he sent them to me, and I looked at them. And... You know, I went back to John via email, and I said, John, what am I supposed to see here? And he came back, and he said, well, I don't want to tell you because I don't want to, you know, cloud your judgment or influence you in any way. I came back to him after I looked some more, and you know my patience level, Bill. It's not that good.
But no.
I saw that little thing, and I said, well, here's something that looks like a three-story building. He came back. He was just in awe. He was like, wow. Takes most people a year to find that. And he boom, 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 sent me back these pictures. Long story short, that building, that structure, or that, you know, rock anomaly, whatever it is literally tied to your strip mine. So another member put up another picture of a strip mine with the attendant buildings that would be typical of a strip mine.
Right.
And then below that,
Hold on there, Bubba Louie.
Oh, it's there. It's there.
It's in that thread I posted an analysis of the size. That building is at best 35 feet tall, 25 feet wide.
And, right.
And we don't.
And go look at the strip mine deal that the other member put up with the attendant buildings. And that building would be about 30 feet tall and about 30 feet wide. The attendant, I'm not sure what that building is for. I think it's a refinery or something where they shake the rocks down over three levels.
That's a pretty small building for the obviously big rocks they got from that.
Well, not really when you think about it. I mean, when you're mining.
So here's the thing. Here's why I don't look at small objects on pictures like this. The resolution just isn't there, to be sure. That building makes up, I think, 12 pixels in even the high resolution shot. And that's just not enough. I mean, the quality of the camera that took the picture back in the 60s was okay.
Hasselblad. I'm talking about
the digital files that were sent back. Yes, the lens was good. But the resolution of the digital files that were sent back that made up the mosaic for that picture weren't so great by today's standards.
Okay.
Plus, it was the originals he sent over were 256 colors bitmaps. So they weren't quite, they certainly weren't any resolution or quality where you could be definitive. Yes, you can make a guess that it's a building. And I can make a guess that it's a giant strip mine. But if there's more data, more pixels to define the strip mine than there is the building.
Okay. We need to start a crusade. We need to start the ATS Fly Springer and the Skeptic Overlord to the moon.
To the moon.
Fundraiser.
Actually.
To the moon.
The Hubble's still working, right?
Kinda.
And we could point it over there as one of its last shots.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper to fly us to the moon.
That's true.
Your favorite podcast of covert operatives.
Well, that's number two in the can.
God, we hope. Do we need to apologize again, or are we better?
I don't know. I think we can see our thighs. What's that?
I said I think we need to apologize again.
Yeah, we might have to. We may be a little better. Actually, one of the things I'm concerned about is while we were recording, I heard some strange clicks and pops on my headphones. I don't know if that made it into the file.
Wow.
Should I mention the toils and the troubles we went through and actually getting it set back up again?
No one would care.
I care.
It's fun to why, because I sat here with you. But
we have some members that have aspirations to podcast, and I do think, of course, the quality of the recording will tell if we've accomplished this or not. But it seems as though we're doing something. Very few podcasters are able to accomplish is through twisting the arm of this Mac and doing a couple other strange and unholy things.
Very unholy.
Yeah, Mark is able to hear through Skype the mix as it's happening on this end. So
that's true.
All the music that's playing, he hears. And typically, that's very close to impossible. As I was going to the different discussion boards that deals with podcasts, yes, I left ATS. To research this. Everyone gives up that tries to do this. And I think we figured it out, but we'll see.
Last year we did all the two out of the three Amigos where, you know, you just started talking when the music ended because I had no clue.
Right. And
this is a vast improvement.
And I could have just stayed silent for hours and you'd be waiting for me to start talking again. So for your cue.
That would have been good.
Would have been maybe. Awesome. So anyway, that's we won't bore anyone anymore with that. So
John Lear, Dave Rabbit, the Springer, the Skeptic Overlord. What more could anyone want?
Plus, you know, colors. I mean, we covered Mars, we covered the Moon, We covered Bush. We covered Chavez. And we were all over the map today. This is awesome.
It is. Even if you and I are the only two people in the galaxy that think so, it was awesome.
So are we going to do another one on, I guess, on Saturday, huh?
Saturday.
We can't do them Friday night because you're addicted to that.
No, sci-fi Friday night.
Sci-fi Friday thing.
God, bite your tongue.
With the, I like Battlestar, but I tried.
SG-1.
I tried to get into
it. It's over your head.
I tried.
It's over your head.
I first started with MacGyver, that's when I really thought, well, man, I don't want to go there.
It's over your head. It's okay.
It must be over my head.
I don't have a doctorate in geophysical sciences, so it's over your head.
It's got to be.
It is.
Right. I'll take your word for it, so that way I don't have to watch it, and we'll all be happy. So that's it, I guess.
It's fun.
No, wait a minute. No. It's what?
Wasn't it? It was fun, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I didn't finish the Teddy Porter.
Oh, Jesus. I finished the whiskey 17 minutes ago. I'm dying here. Let's go.
Okay. Teddy's done.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good night, and we'll see everyone on episode 3.
We'll see you on the boards. Hang in there and keep posting.
This has been an official podcast for the world's largest conspiracy theory and alternative topics discussion board at AboveTopSecret.com. Had there been an actual conspiracy emergency, you would have been instructed on where to go, who to tell, what to say, and how to function in your daily life without dreaded feelings of overwhelming paranoia. For more podcasts and the best conspiracy discussion, deny ignorance and visit AboveTopSecret.com.